Have your Bibles then. We'd like for you to turn with us to the book of Daniel, chapter number 4. Daniel chapter 4. Last time we left off there, the king had thrown Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire. And he saw four men. He bound three, but he saw four men loose walking around. And the fourth one was the Son of God.
Amen.
And that just blew his little old mind. And he made a decree. He said, anybody that speaks against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he's going to be cut to pieces. Pick up the story in chapter number 4. We'll look at the first three verses. We see a testimony delivered. Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. We do know that Daniel has been doing all the writing up until chapter number 4. In chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar is doing the writing. In fact, it's the same Nebuchadnezzar that carried Daniel away into captivity and tried to re-educate him. Imagine if we captured some prisoners of war in Iraq and brought them home and sent them to Harvard. Don't make a lot of sense, does it? So what Nebuchadnezzar was doing with Daniel and all those boys, he's trying to re-educate them and retrain them and see what it was that made them tick. Well, we see this king that didn't know God, had only heard of God through Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In chapter 4, he's doing some writing here. In fact, in these first three verses, he's giving you a testimony. Because he's telling you, he's writing this chapter after he has experienced some climactic and some major catastrophic events in his life. And now he goes back and begins to pin down what it was that happened to him. Must have been something, because I see a real difference in this man. He was a man who carried him off in captivity and bound him and threw him into a fiery furnace. And now he's a man who's saying, how great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. Some kind of change has taken place in Nebuchadnezzar's life. Sounds like to me he might have got right with God. Let's see if he did or not in these chapters. Verses number 4 and 5, we see a troubling dream again. Remember, every time we see Nebuchadnezzar, he's a dreaming, ain't he? He's just dreaming away. Well, verse 4 says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Now, something here made him afraid. He's had a dream. The Bible says that he was flourishing in his palace. I mean, here he's got an armed guard around him, and he's got all that money can buy him as far as comforts are exacted from him. He's got everything and everyone. You'd think he wouldn't be troubled at all. I mean, he's got a sort of perfect sleeper and a big old fluffy pillow and just all kinds of people to protect him. Nothing at all to worry about. But let me tell you something, my friend. Money, power, all that this world has cannot stop you from being troubled in this life. Nebuchadnezzar was a troubled man, and he was very afraid because of a dream that he saw. Verses 6 through 9, we see the throne's demand. Therefore made I decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Sounds familiar, don't it? Remember that last dream he had? He said, tell me the dream and what it means. And they said, we can't tell you the dream, but if you'll tell us a dream, we'll tell you what it means. He said, I forgot the dream. But if you're doing what I pay you to do, you'll tell me what it is. And they couldn't do it. You can call Psychic's Hotline. They can't do it either. Amen. He said, I made a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And I told the dream before them. But they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. This time he's not forgot the dream. He tells them what the dream is. And they still couldn't interpret it. Do you know why? I'm going to tell you why. It wasn't that they couldn't interpret what it means, but they were afraid to tell the king the truth. Knew that if they told him the truth, they might get their heads chopped off or get killed, served up in the fiery furnace. And so they were real careful and said, we can't tell you what that dream is. Now, there's a lot of preachers nowadays. God will give them a message. Tell them to go down to the church and deliver that fireball message that God sent. And they get there and say, oh yeah, I'll do it. And then they look in the whites of all the people's eyes. And they say, boy, I'm afraid they'll fire me if I let go of this message. Let's pick something a little bit different, or let's soften the message, or compromise it just a little bit. Let me tell you something. If you compromise his message, or you change it or alter it just a little bit, you've taken his message and made it yours. Your message will fall on its face. Can you imagine? What if the postman that comes to your house decided to take your mail and mark through some places and alter it? Boy, you'd be mad. I mean, somebody had sent that right for you. And maybe it's good news, maybe it's bad news. Nonetheless, it was for you. And they changed it all. Because they didn't. Boy, you'd be upset. You see, that's what preachers are doing nowadays. Changing God's message, trying to soften it. And here, these men are hardly preachers, but they're afraid to tell the truth. I don't know why we live in a land today where nobody wants to tell the truth anymore. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. I believe verse 9 tells me, when he says this, there's no secret that troubles thee. He's trying to say, I know you're not afraid to tell me the truth. You've told me before. I remember you got right in my face, and you'll tell me that again. Hey, I want somebody who's going to tell me the truth. Amen. In fact, I know, going to church my whole life, I really needed a preacher not just to get on my toes. I needed to get on my heart and stomp it out real good and show me where I was wrong and what I needed to do better. I didn't get mad at the preacher. Mm-mm. No, if I'd have got mad at him, I'd have been getting mad at God, because he's delivered what God told him to preach. I didn't get mad at him. I got upset with myself for being such a failure. And you know what I did? I went to that old-fashioned altar and fell on my face and said, Lord, forgive me. The man of God hit me right between the eyes, and the Spirit of God convicted me with your message, and I want to get right with you about it. I appreciate somebody that will tell the truth. And Daniel is somebody who's going to tell the truth. We see verses 10 and 11, the terrible dreams. Let's see this dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of heaven dwelt in the bowels thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said, hew down the tree, cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it, and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field. And let it be wet with the dew of heaven. Let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's. And let a beast's heart be given unto him. And let seven times pass over him. This matter is by decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. What a terrible dream, verses 10 through 17. In that dream, he saw a tree rise and spread out, reaching the heavens, and the fowls gathered on it, and the beasts gathered under it. And all of a sudden, we see a watcher come down from heaven and say, cut down this tree, and cut off his branches and shake off his fruit. And down he went. And it left a stump. And he said, put a band around the stump. And let the stumps out there in the grass. And let the dew of the heavens fall on it. Until, the Bible says, seven times pass over him. That's a pretty scary dream. I mean, tonight, look over to your left or to your right. And you see these great big flowers that these ladies and gentlemen have worked so hard on. And imagine one of them being a tree. And all of a sudden it being cut down. And it flourishing no more. And all it would leave is a stump. Think about cutting a tree down in your yard. What a big mess that may make. And then you work and you take care of all the tree. And all that's left is a stump there. You can't do anything about that stump. One day you might grind it up. But for now you put bands around it. And just leave it out there in the yard. With the rest of the grass and all the beasts of the field. There lies a stump. That is the terrible dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. Verses 18 through 27. There is a tremendous description of this dream. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof. For as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. I want to say that this dream, soon as Daniel, right off, he knows what it means. And because this news is so shocking, for 1 solid hour, he's just pondering and astonished and worried, concerned about what's going on for Nebuchadnezzar's life. I believe that Daniel had developed a friendship with Nebuchadnezzar. He honestly cared for his soul. And for 1 hour, I believe he pondered, thinking, what can I do? What can I do to give this message? I want to give truth. I believe Daniel's one of these preachers that's going to tell you the truth in love. Amen. Thank God for an old-fashioned preacher. Yeah. And to get up in a pulpit and preach. Yeah. And tell you just like it is. Yeah. Anyhow, anyway, with love in his heart, that yes, I'm worried how this news is going to affect you. But I believe it can make you better and you can learn something from it. Yeah. Daniel has love in his heart for the man who has taken him into captivity. I'm sure that if I had been taken into captivity and had heard that great dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, I'd have said, well, whoopee, he's going to be cut down to size and he's getting what it is he deserves. But not Daniel. He's a man of God who loves his people, who loves Nebuchadnezzar the king. And he doesn't thrive on somebody else's misfortunes or bad news. I want to say, when bad news comes about your neighbor, brother or sister, or even your enemy, it ought not to make you rejoice. When you see somebody broke down on the side of the road, you ought not just to laugh about them and say, ha ha, they're getting what they deserve. I believe with all my heart, amen, Daniel was a man that loved the king Nebuchadnezzar. Let's read verse 19 again. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. He said, Daniel, it's all right, I'm a big boy. Give it to me straight. Tell me what it means. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. He said, you know what? This message is for you, but it's going to affect all those that hate you and all those that are around you. Let's be careful now. Verse 20. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation, it is thou, O king. I remember how Nathan came to David after he had had an adulterous relationship with Bathsheba. He got in David, the king's face, and he said, thou art the man. And I believe he came there to tell him the truth. But I believe Nathan was concerned for his king. He loved him, and he gave him the truth. Daniel says, thou, it is thou, O king. Thou art grown and become strong. We remember in Daniel chapter 2, the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw, he was that head of gold. He had become strong and God had really blessed him. He was the greatest and most influential of his day. For thy greatness is grown and reaches unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field, till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which is come upon my Lord the king. Here's the interpretation. That they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. They shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and he give it to whomsoever he will. He said, Nebuchadnezzar, you're going to be humbled. You're going to be humiliated. You're going to be cut down to size. You're going to be like a beast eating grass out in the field. And you're going to be there for 7 years until you understand that God rules in the kingdom of men. Yeah. Until you understand, Nebuchadnezzar, you're not as big as you think you are. Until you know that you can't do anything without the help of God. Amen. Boy, it'd be a great lesson for every one of us in this church to learn right now tonight. We can do nothing without the breath of Almighty God. We need His mercy and we need His grace each and every day of our lives. I want to say, there's a lot of folks nowadays, thinks they can get by without God. Thinks, well, I've done it before, I'll do it again. My friend, the only way you did it the first time is through the help of Almighty God. I want you to know tonight, you may say, I'm a Democrat, I'm a Republican. God bless you. I voted. Hey, God put whoever He wanted in office. You may say, my vote's the one it did, and I appreciate your vote. I go and vote myself. It is a privilege. But God is the one who puts men in charge. In fact, they tell me that current President Bush didn't even get the majority of the votes. Think about it. He won an election with a minority. But one plus God is the majority. Amen. Hallelujah for that. God puts in office who He wants at a certain time. And I want to tell you something. The way a people or a nation acts, God will give them a leader to be what it is they deserve. Maybe to bless them or to be a judgment to them. God does that. In fact, He put Nebuchadnezzar over Babylon to judge Israel. That's why He put him in charge. I'm persuaded that God even places preachers in such specific measures as that. If a people don't really want to serve God, they may get a preacher in there that has no burden for the people, just wants a paycheck and go to the house. God will do that. And if you have a burden for the things of God, God will find you a preacher that's got a burden for the things of God. If you have a burden to hear the truth with love, God will find you a preacher to give you that. If you want it cold and harsh and bitter, God will find you one to do that. God sets up rulership. He is the authority. Amen?
Amen.
And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. He said, you're going to be cut down to size, humbled, humiliated, but your stump's going to be left in the ground. We talked about roots the other day. One thing about, I got an old stump at the house, and you know what's growing up beside that old stump? I mean, that tree is cut down years ago. Hey, it's got a new shoot coming up. And there's some roots in the ground that's still active. And a new trunk's coming up out of the ground. God's trying to say here, one of these days when you know that I'm in charge of everything, going to be a new shoot come out, and you're going to go right back in power, right where you was. Wherefore, O king, now listen to what Daniel says to him. Let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. He said, king, this is getting ready to happen to you. This dream is getting ready to be fulfilled. But I'm going to give an altar call. If you'd get right with God and start showing mercy, oh, God will extend your days. Now, I remember He told Jonah, Go down there and preach to Nineveh and tell them that the judgment of God's coming. I'm going to overthrow the city. Jonah didn't want to go. Somebody says, well, Jonah didn't know God. Oh, yes, he did. Jonah hated the Ninevites. And if he went down there and preached to them and they got right, he knew God would forgive them. And he didn't want to see them get right to God. He wanted to see them all destroyed. So he got on a ship going the other way. But he should have known better. You can't outrun God. He's going to get you, amen. And old Jonah came into town with a little bit of love in his heart and said, hey, hear ye, God's going to overthrow this city if you don't get right and give up your sin. And the whole city, from the king to the pauper, sat down in sackcloth and ashes and got right with God. And God spared a whole city of countless thousands. Again, Daniel says to this one king, if you would be willing to get right with God right now, He'd spare you from this judgment. I mean, it's coming. The axe, listen. I was in a church in South Carolina preaching in a revival meeting. The Lord had spoke to me the night before about what to preach. And I'd prepared the message. And we were having, you know, good crowds, but really there was something really tight in that service was holding it up, keeping people from doing what it was that I felt like they needed to do. And it was even binding me from being able to preach like I wanted to. When I got to church that night, in Marietta, South Carolina, I turned off the main highway and turned in. And I saw something. You may say, preacher, you're crazy. I saw this like a sickle up in the air. And just looked like what a man's hand was over the corner of that church. You could see through it, yet you could see the shape and the image of a sickle that was drawn. My message for that church that night that God had told me to prepare to preach to them was that He's got the axe laid back at the roots of the tree that will not bear fruit to chop it down and let another one grow in its place that will bear fruit. My message to the people that night was, hey, judgment's coming to this church if you don't get right with God. He's not here to play tiddlywinks or marbles with you. This is to be worshiped. We are supposed to have church when we come to this place. And I want to tell you what that night. That old boy, he got down, and that old preacher, he got down that altar and started praying. And the people got down and started praying with him. And a great burden hit that place. And I'm telling you, it's just a countless number of people got saved that night, the next night, the next night, the next night. Why? God's judgment was drawn for them. Amen. And rather than let it hit the roots, Jesus said, Father, just wait just a minute. Let me dig around it a little bit. Let me work in the church just one more time. Just for another year. Let me put a little dung and a little fertilizer in it. Let me work with them a little bit. And next year, if there's no fruit on it, go ahead and cut it down. But if it's bearing fruit, well, glory to God. I want to say to you, that church is doing right well tonight. I believe the man of God got his heart right, and the people of the church got their heart right, and they decided what it was they were going to do there. They're going to preach a truth in love rather than fussing and fighting. I want to say to you, Daniel's giving an altar call. Says, King, if you'd get right with God, this judgment would be stayed off of you. I dare say there's been a lot of people with a lot of problems that could have been avoided if they'd have just done what God told them to do.
Amen.
That's a tremendous description. It is not a message that would have made Nebuchadnezzar feel real froggy. Yet for a year, he stayed right with God. Maybe he was fearing God and fearing His message. Verse number 28 through verses 33, we say a truthful declaration. God's as good as His Word. And if He tells you He's going to do something, He's going to do just what He says. Verse 28, all this came upon the king, Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of the 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom, by the might of my power, and for the honor of my majesty? He's got eye-itis, y'all. This king is lifted up and vaulted. He said, hey, look at all I've done. Look at all I've accomplished. Look at all I have. I mean, I, Nebuchadnezzar, have built Babylon. I mean, I, Nebuchadnezzar, have done this with my might. God's message to him was, son, I'm going to humble you. I'm going to humiliate you. I'm going to show you that nobody can be anything without me or my help.
Right.
Yet the king got lifted up and said, look what I do. In fact, I'm persuaded fully than a lot of us sitting on Baptist church pews are just, look what I've done. Oh, look what I've done so good. He said to you, my friend, whatever you've done by the help and breath of Almighty God. Without His inspiration, you would have done nothing. There's been a lot of people says, I tell you what, I've done this, I'll never do it again. You might be getting ready to get in trouble yourself. The Bible says when He said these things, while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, here comes judgment. Voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. They shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever He will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. And he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. There is such a thing as God to get your attention. And I've always said, there's a real difference between me humbling myself and God humbling me. And right here, God is going to humble him. And the Bible says he's driven from men, and now he's eating grass like oxen. He thinks he's an ox. In fact, there's a disease, an insanity disease called boanthropy. It is where people go so insane, they believe they're an ox. And they'll even go and start eating on grass. And go up tonight to one of those floors on the hospital at St. Joe's. And go in there and see folks that's completely delusional. Go out of their minds. I don't know why all things happen. I can take you tonight to a young lady who is a top of her class and in high school and in college. And my friend went on and worked for NASA. One of the greatest minds this world ever known. Yet decided that she'd go to a party one night and get wasted on drugs. Her first time she'd ever tried them. And thought, I'll try drugs and go out with this nice looking guy and have a big time. And she did. And my friend, it blew her mind. And tonight, she is in an insane asylum in Houston, Texas. Her mind blown over drugs. She's gone completely insane. One of the brightest minds this world will ever know. I want to say to you, God allowed this man to go insane. I mean, what is it tonight keeps you from going insane? You look at me, you may say, preacher, I battle depression. I battle this. And, you know, God only knows what goes through a congregation of people this size. And depression's an awful thing. But depression, as bad as it is, and some of you experience it, I'm sure, as bad as it is, was nothing. A drop in the bucket compared to Nebuchadnezzar being driven off his throne. And can you imagine the humility of going out and eating grass? Not for fun, for food.
Yeah.
How embarrassing to have that happen to you as the king of all Babylon, that great head of gold and all its might and power. And now you're reduced. I want to say to you, we're a prideful bunch. You may say, we're not that prideful. Oh yeah, let's watch. You be walking along somewhere and trip on the sidewalk. And the first thing you do when you fall down, you scrape your knee, blood's everywhere. And the first thing you do is jump up, look around, and hope nobody saw you. You're not worried about the blood running down your leg, into your socks. Oh no, you're just worried, what if somebody saw me do that? I mean, we're a prideful bunch. Imagine driving up tonight and seeing one of these boys on the front row up here, down on all fours, eating grass like a cow. Not for life. For food. Didn't want to go down to KB's and get nothing to eat. Didn't want to go to the steakhouse. Oh no. Want to stay away from there because you thought you was an ox. And now you're eating grass in the field. I mean, not just for one day. Not just for one second. I mean for 7 years, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days in the year. For 7 years, he was up there till his hair became like eagle's feathers. Till his nails became like bird claws. Imagine you girls go have your nails done. I want to say to you tonight, bless your heart, God keeps you from losing your mind tonight.
to where you're not out digging with those beautiful nails and they become like bird claws. God's ruling in the kingdoms of men and in our lives tonight. Even if you won't serve Him, God still has rulership in your life. The Bible says at the end of the days, verse 34, we see His testimony delivered. We saw in verses 1 through 3 His praising God. Look at verses 34 through 37. And at the end of the days, after 7 years, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven, and my understanding returned unto me. Something right there. After 7 years, he lifted his eyes to heaven. I believe he's looking for help. I believe he's looking. He remembered the message. After 7 years, there came a day when God said, okay, 7 years of days been fulfilled. What's it going to be, bub? He looked up. I think about the prodigal who was down there in the hog lot. Oh, he remembered his father. And I believe he looked up, went back to where it was he had left. Yeah. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, there's repentance right here. Repentance just in a look. Who is it that you look to tonight? Are you looking to man? Are you looking to the hospital? Are you looking to the banker? Who is it you're looking for help from? Hey, your help comes from the Lord.
Amen.
The end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes, and my understanding returned unto me. I mean, as soon as he repented, God completely restored him. Now, if you'd hold this scripture right here, I want us just to back up the book of Proverbs, chapter number 16, verse number 18. When old King Nebuchadnezzar got lifted up, the Bible says, pride goeth before destruction. A haughty spirit before a fall. Back up to chapter number 6. Verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate. Hey, preacher, I believe God is love. He is. But it's some things He hates too. Yeah. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. What's the very first one He lists? A proud look. He hates the sin of pride. Turn with me over here to the book of James. Preacher, you just jumped me all over the Bible here. The book of James. Verse number 6. Chapter 4, verse number 6. But He giveth more grace. Wherefore, He saith, God resisteth the proud, but He giveth grace to the humble. God's going to resist that crowd that's filled with pride. Look what I do. And this church, Bethel Baptist Church, will never make it without me. You'll find out. Bethel Baptist Church will never make it without my tithe. You'll find out. Bethel Baptist Church will never make it without my singing ability. You'll find out. Bethel Baptist Church will never make it if I'm not preaching. Oh, I'll find out. I want to tell you something. You may say to me tonight, preacher, God needs me. Hey, He can choose anybody He wants to deliver His message. He's even spoke through donkeys. He used a donkey to deliver His message. Surely He can use you and me. Amen. Now go back in the book of Daniel, chapter number 4. We're ready to close. He said, my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. I praised and honored Him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and He doth according to His will in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand, or say unto Him, what doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me. And for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and brightness returned unto me. My counselors and my lords saw unto me. I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. I mean, what happened? For 7 years, eagle feathers his hair was, and bird claws his nails were. God said, when Nebuchadnezzar looked at the Lord, God restored him. You think about it. In that day and age, if you had the throne, the very second you vacated it, there'd be somebody to take over. In fact, I've said for years that one of these days when I die, y'all make sure and come to my visitation. And y'all watch all them boys that's hugging on my wife. Because they might be looking to move right in. She warns me about that all the time. I think I even say it back. Now let me say this to you. Now hear me. As soon as Nebuchadnezzar got off that throne, you can rest assured, maybe there's somebody said, hey, I wonder if I've got enough power to take over. I'll become king. I mean, look at all the power and glory and dominion he's got. I'm going to take over. But remember, God said, I'm going to leave you stumped there. We're going to put bands of iron around it. It's representing his confinement, but it also represents his protection. He said, one day, I'm going to allow you to take the kingdom back over again. Just as God promised, 7 years later, the very throne he left is the very throne he returned to. And in fact, he had more power in the end than he did at the beginning. I want to say to you, the terrible trials we go through, God can make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees. Though my tears flow like the river. Oh, glory to God. We can sing that song tonight. And I want you to know, the Bible says, at the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and brightness returned unto me, my counselors and my Lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven. I believe you got right with God. I mean, we're talking, listen, this is big stuff. What if you heard tonight that Charles Manson got saved? Some of you don't even know who Charles Manson is. But for those of you that's old enough to know who Charles Manson is, what if you heard that Charles Manson got saved? Amen. And we're going to have him at Bethel to speak. How many of you would come? I mean, for the right reason.
Yeah.
Huh? Not a lot. You say the preacher lost his mind, Charles Manson saved. That's ridiculous. What if you heard that Saddam Hussein got right with God and God called him to preach and he's going to come here to Bethel to speak?
Yeah.
The preacher's lost his mind. Hey, King Nebuchadnezzar was as wicked as Osama bin Laden, Saddam Hussein, spreading his kingdom out, taking people, killing them, captives. He was not a wicked and bloodthirsty man, and God saved him! And now he's recorded a chapter in the Bible.
Amen.
By the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. I want to say to you, I don't care how big you are, and I don't care how little you are, God can still save your wretched soul.
Amen.
He said, I extol it over the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. He said he can cut you down to size, friend.
Yes, sir.
Now, that is the message. Let me give you the prophecy in chapter 4, very quickly. We see prophecy in all these chapters. What about the kingdom of Babylon? It represents the world's system of today. What about the king's pride? You know, vaunting and high-minded. It represents men who reject Jesus. Why do men reject Jesus? Because of pride. You tell me. The day you got saved, did the devil not put in your mind, you can't go down there in front of all them people?
Amen. Right.
Yes. I mean, why did the devil get kicked out of heaven? For pride. He said, I'm bigger than God. I want everybody to praise me. And God kicked him out. And now he tries to fill you with pride to keep you from serving. He said, serve Islam. Do this, but don't serve Jesus. I mean, hey, let me tell you something. A lot of people won't serve God, serve Jesus Christ because of pride and rebellion and because of self. So Nebuchadnezzar's pride represents the rejection of Jesus. What about his fall? Nebuchadnezzar's rise and his fall. It represents the tribulation. Those that have been left behind because they rejected Jesus, they are forever lost. What about his madness? Remember, God put insanity or some kind of madness upon him to have him eat grass for 7 years. God can, you believe God can do that?
Yes.
I read to you last week in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 how that God will send strong delusion that people will believe the Antichrist is Jesus Christ. They will believe a lie. You're looking at me funny.
Amen.
2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I don't care what you think about Left Behind, the series by Tim LaHaye. Left Behind the series is not the Word of God. The Word of God is the authority. Let's read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we're going to go home in just a minute. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. If God sent madness to Nebuchadnezzar, he's going to send that wicked crowd that rejected Jesus after the rapture takes place and are left on this earth. They're going to be sent strong delusion or madness. The Bible says, verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they might believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Anybody that has pleasure in unrighteousness is lifted up in pride. What about Nebuchadnezzar's restoration? He was restored when he repented. There will be a number that will be a remnant of people that will come out of tribulation that will recognize the Antichrist for the imposter that he really is. And said, I was almost fooled into serving him, but I'm not taking his mark, and I'm not bound to his image. I'm going to serve Jesus. Hey, that crowd will be the crowd that goes into the millennial kingdom and will be restored 100%. Do you see the prophecy in that?
Yes, sir.
All right. That's a long message. You can just push back in belts. Now it's time to stand. We'll go home. Father, we thank you tonight for the Word of God. We thank you for Nebuchadnezzar's conversion.
Yes.
We thank you, Father. It tells me that anybody can still be saved. Nobody's too hard to be saved. Unless it is they've blasphemed the Holy Ghost. And that sin will never be forgiven. And I believe God will kill within 24 hours of sinning against the Holy Ghost, blaspheming against Him.
Yes.
And God, tonight we pray for this crowd that's come. Yes. Help us, Lord, to see the Word of God, that it's true. And God, Daniel's told us about kingdoms which would come after his time, which have been history to us now, but he's also told us about future events, that Jesus will come and rapture his church home, and there will be folks that will die and go to hell and serve the Antichrist, and there will be folks that will go on towards glory. God, all these chapters we've seen thus far are foreshadowing prophetically about the coming of Jesus. Father, help us then to go out to our loved ones and tell them of Jesus' soon return, that they might be saved before it's everlasting too late. God, for these favors we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We are, as we're working through this book of Daniel, we are trying to make a book of collected thoughts and notes like we did for Revelations, like we did for the book of Esther, and when we studied on what Baptists believe. So little by little we're writing as we go along, and we'll see how it turns out when we're done, if you're interested in having one. All right? All hearts and minds clear? Don't forget about snack time. Thank you. Snack time over in the fellowship hall. Make sure and shake hands with Manuela's daughter and son-in-law. And also, there are plenty of handouts and flyers here for Bible school. And we'd really like for you to take these. Maybe you've got a neighbor, somebody you work with, got a lot of kids, or one kid, or maybe they're an adult. We're going to have adult class as well. If you would take one of these flyers, we've got a bunch of them to pass out, and get them out just as quickly as you can, we sure will appreciate it. Good night. God bless you. Thank you for coming.